Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert-Sargent. Chris Kington-Barker is hosting the program today virtually while still practicing recommendations for safe and physical distancing. Her guests will be joining us via Zoom. We encourage you to participate by sending your questions or comments for today's guests by email to voices@kcbx.org, or you can call them in at 805-549-8855, and we will relay them to the air. Chris and her guests today will be talking about how local libraries have changed, where and when and how they are continuing to offer services due to the ongoing pandemic, and finding ways to allow the community access the myriad of valuable resources it has to offer. With that, I will turn things over to you, Chris. Hello, Chris.
Thanks. Hello, Hank.
Hi there.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And today we have a focus on local libraries and services they're able to continue to offer. It makes sense that the following people are my guests. They are Christopher Barnacle, Director of Libraries, Chase McMunn, Deputy Director of Libraries. Did I say that right? Is it McMunn?
McMunn, that's right, yeah.
Great. Araceli Astorga, Coast Regional Librarian, and Sharon Coronado, Adult Services Coordinating Librarian. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I actually have a lot of questions about library services because I hadn't really even thought about it until most recently. And I thought, you know, what are they doing? I just kind of assumed you guys had continued. And then I thought, well, that's kind of silly. You probably had to shut your doors like everybody else. So starting in March, you did have to close down when everybody else went to a shelter in place, correct?
We did, and the majority of our staff got pulled into disaster service work, as county employees were all mandated disaster service workers. So we served in a myriad of capacities throughout the community to provide support for those in need during the COVID pandemic.
You know, talk a little bit about that, Chris, because I don't think that a lot of people understand that the county workers really did get pulled into those kind of services. And those weren't necessarily, I mean, it's not like an emergency service is the work that you would normally do as a librarian, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's been a stretch assignment for all of us. I was pulled in as the care and shelter director. And so it was a whole new team. And while, you know, we all work for the county, we work for different departments, and to much extent, we kind of work in our own lanes. And so getting to know new individuals and their skill sets, and just seeing the amazing work and capacity that they have to create positive impacts throughout the community was amazing. Our team really worked on getting food to those who were sheltered in place, so high-risk populations. Mm-hmm. We would deliver food and medication to those individuals. We also worked with a partnership with the food bank to ensure that food insecurity was addressed. There was a component that we worked with to ensure those who were experiencing homelessness, who got tested, would have a place in which to shelter. You know, most of us take for granted that if we should get sick, we have a place in which to go and shelter. And so those in the community who are experiencing homelessness, where were they to go? So fortunately, we were able to partner with some local hotels throughout the county, and they were able to shelter those individuals who were in need. Since then, the county has moved to trailers at the El Choro Park off of Highway 1. And, you know, I think my three colleagues here can speak more to the types of things that we did. My focus was really on the care and shelter component.
What did you end up doing, Chase?
I was left at the library while Chris was over running care and shelter. So I primarily served as a staff liaison. So I was responsible for connecting our staff with the different departments that needed positions filled as disaster service workers. So Chris touched on the food delivery, which was one of the largest programs we were part of. And we also had a lot of people working with Care and Shelter and Chris. We also were able to put some of our library skills to use. We had several people running logistics at the warehouse out at the Emergency Operations Center. I mean, really, we did all kinds of things. We had people making masks. We still, to this day, have people doing clerical duties at testing sites around the county and assisting public health with contact tracing.
Yeah.
So, we've been involved in a lot of different aspects of the response.
That's fantastic. Araceli, what were you doing?
I was part of the team that Chris mentioned. We worked with other departments throughout the county to secure a place for folks to quarantine if they don't have anywhere else to go. So majority homeless individuals, but also someone who today I do have a place to stay, but now I'm positive my roommate doesn't want me here. Where am I going to go? So there's that population as well. And that was really educational because it was, we started the process from scratch and just all the several workflow charts came into play because you had to figure out, okay, who's going to take care of this? Who's going to take care of that? If A happens and B happens, what will C be? So it was very, very educational. Yeah. There was some frustration, but we had a lot of good heads on our team. And I also helped out with taking surveys for folks that were receiving food from the food bank. In Spanish, because we needed to collect some information in order to get reimbursed from FEMA. So I used some of my Spanish-speaking skills in that capacity.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No.
What a wonderful experience for you.
Yes, definitely.
Unfortunate that it came out of a pandemic, but a wonderful experience.
Yes. Yeah. All I can say is our resumes will all look different after this.
I'll bet. Truly. Yeah. And some people, I think, are going to find a calling in areas that they hadn't had a clue that they would be interested in. Yeah. Yes. How about you, Sharon?
So I stayed behind with Chase and helped support library operations and wrote grants. And we got some grant money awarded to us during that time. I helped with the social media team to kind of keep our followers informed of what was happening. Things changed very quickly. We were able to add some more robust services, so we wanted to make sure people knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. We prepared e-blasts that were targeted for our subscribers so that they were kept in the loop. And I am the librarian who answers questions on Ask a Librarian. So people are really used to being able to call the library to ask questions and get help. And since everybody was out doing these big projects to support the county, I stayed behind and answered questions.
Well, you bring up a couple of the questions that I had, and it's a great segue into them. So one is, I don't really think, and maybe I'm just thinking from my own perspective, but I really honestly don't have a clue of the breadth of services and depth that are offered by the county libraries. You mentioned Ask a Librarian. Can you talk a little bit about that service?
Sure. So if you go to slowlibrary.org, you will see a menu of options, and all of those menus have submenus because it's hard for us to even know the breadth and depths of our services. You know, we're very used to moving quickly. So we develop something and then we move on to the next thing. And I think this opportunity for us to come on shows like this is really great. Because our challenge is messaging everything that we have to offer. And I think everywhere we go, we always hear from people, oh my gosh, I didn't know the library had that. I didn't know you did that. Yeah. So we're always really happy to talk about it. So Ask a Librarian, you go there and you fill out a form, and it it's email, and then I just respond in kind. And oftentimes it's and if it's a issue with accessing our digital services, and sometimes we just really need to pick up the phone. So it's an initial contact. Sometimes it's like a research question, and I can point some people to resources. We had all manner of questions coming in. It was rewarding to be able to still be sort of a lifeline for people that needed information and access from us.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I wanted to add to what Sharon said is, you know, one of the great challenges that we have as well is we can't be experts in any one area. So we serve all of San Luis Obispo County. We have partnerships with jurisdictions down in Santa Barbara as well as Ventura County. So effectively, we serve their constituents as well. And so we don't have this luxury of being good at one thing. And when people ask, you know, what is the future of libraries? The simple answer is it's a reflection of what the community wants and needs. And so what Sharon said is absolutely correct. You know, we have such great depth and breadth of services, and that's why we brought in coordinating librarians, one who would help lead services and adult services. Another will help with youth services. We have a collection development coordinator, and her job is really to meet the needs of the readership in the county. We have an amazing audiovisual coordinator, and he meets the needs of those who want to, you know, view movies or listen to audiobooks and stream things. So it's really, as the director of the organization, it's amazing to work with such a talented group of people who are constantly meeting the needs of the community and evolving needs of the community.
And one thing that so much stuff transitioned to online during the first part of the shutdown, and a lot of that has been maintained. But, and for those of us, because we're on Zoom right now, for those of us that can access it, we just assume that people can access it. But there is a vast number of this community that don't have the resources or can't use the resources for a myriad of reasons, that you also need to develop services for and maintain services for. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'd like to defer to Araceli on that. She's really been a front runner in really creating progressive services and partnerships in the community. And so, yeah, you know, she can speak to our partnerships as well as to the addressing the digital divide here.
Okay, great. Araceli, that question goes to you.
Thank you. So Chris didn't mention, but earlier, I think it was around May, we eventually got the AOK to move towards curbside service, mm-hmm. which was, you know, really beneficial for those folks who didn't have access to our digital collection and those persons who missed just holding a book, yeah. a physical item. And prior to that, we also were able to work with staff who weren't deployed and get them into our building. At the time, we were thinking, oh, we're going to open soon, but also to answer the phones because, again, we knew that there's people out there who didn't have access to a laptop, even a smartphone.
Yeah.
Now it seems everyone has a smartphone, and no, I'm here to tell you, not everyone has a smartphone. And
people have a smartphone and they're not smart with it. You know, they don't know how to work that. I mean,
yes, that's the other thing. We get a lot of folks who have these fancy phones and they have no idea. That's okay. You know, we're always happy to help. So having staff in the building simply to answer phones, it was a big help. And like Chris mentioned, we're not all experts. And so if we weren't able to answer the question, you know, we did our best to get back to them. And Sharon can vouch that she got a lot of we emailed those questions to Sharon as well, to get some professional support on that end. Currently at our library, we do offer items like portable hotspots. So it's a portable Wi-Fi connection. So if you don't have Wi-Fi at home, there's a way for you to access the internet at home. All you need is a library card and we'll lend you the device. And we even have, we call them kits, where you could borrow the hotspot along with a Chromebook. So you have a laptop and a hotspot, so you can use those items at home. Because, again, even though it seems like everyone has a laptop, there's still the financial aspect of it. They're not cheap, and subscribing to the internet is not inexpensive as well. So we offer that option. And then our libraries, even though we were closed, our Wi-Fi stayed on. So if you just parked outside the building or at SLO, if you sat in our atrium area, you were able to access the internet. We never turned that off. So that's available to anyone. You don't need a library card to access our internet. So that's one way, you know, we really work towards making sure people still had access to the information that they wanted. And of course, there's no fee for that. And that's a lot of people don't realize that what we offer is free of charge. We never charge unless you lose something, you know, then we will. But otherwise, to access our services, there is no cost.
How did you let people know about that? So how would I, as somebody in the community, because I didn't know I could go and access curbside, I mean, that I could access the internet through the library. So how would I know that?
So, of course, our social media platforms, mm-hmm. Our information is posted there. We have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube channel. We have an Instagram page. But we have a really good partnership with someone who does our PR, and she sends the information to various outlets. So, for example, KSBY. Actually, one of my colleagues was interviewed yesterday for KSBY regarding children's services. I was interviewed not too long ago. So we're you can see our faces out there
trying to get the word out there.
And then as well as just communicating with the groups that we already have relationships with. So, for example, our friends group, we continue to keep them in the loop and let them know, hey, this is what's going on. And then in turn, they would let their fellow community volunteers and so forth know about what was going on. So, you know, we're still using, let's say, traditional forms of communications, as mm-hmm. just news outlets, things like this. But word of mouth is a big, big help.
Fantastic. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. Christopher Barnacle, Director of Libraries, Chase McMunn, Deputy Director of Libraries, Aracela Astorga, Coast Regional Librarian, and Sharon Coronado, Adult Services Coordinating Librarian, have joined me today for a discussion about local libraries in SLO County and the services that they're continuing to provide that, for many of us, are an untapped resource. If you'd like to bring your questions or comments to today's discussion, or perhaps you'd like to share your how you found a library as a port in the storm during the pandemic, you can email us at voices@kcbx.org or call your questions in to us at 805-549-8855. Again, that's 805-549-8855. I'm going to ask a question. You mentioned the curbside pickup. And so how would that work? And I'm not sure who to ask. Is that a Sharon question? An RSLA question? Is that a Chase question? What is the structure of that? And then within that, how are you taking care to protect that those books are clean and that that they're okay to distribute to people?
Hi, Chris. So first, you had asked how people can stay up to date with the library. I wanted to make a shameless plug for our newsletter. Because things are changing so frequently, so often, and we have to adapt quickly, I would really recommend everybody go to slolibrary.org, so slolibrary.org. In the upper left-hand corner of the screen, you'll see our link to the newsletter. You can sign up, and we will send you our most up-to-date information on our services and the programs we're offering, because we are rolling out different types of virtual programming as we develop them. You asked about curbside service. Mm-hmm. Well, as a segue from the things happening quickly, we've actually moved beyond curbside at this point. So we ran curbside for the month of June, basically, and it was a great success. People really enjoyed getting in the libraries and checking out materials. And in July, we actually started opening our largest 7 libraries. So that would be Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cambria, and Napomo. Okay. Those are all open for, we're calling it grab-and-go services. So some of the things that we're doing to make sure that people stay safe in the libraries really made us switch to grab-and-go service. We'd always tried to structure the library as a place to gather. It was kind of that third space for the community to come together. Right. Well, unfortunately, in a pandemic, we kind of had to shift away from that model. And now we're truly a resource that people can come, get what they need, and exit when they're done. So we removed the furniture. It's mostly just a browsing collection. People can come, get their materials. We do have a few computers available at those open locations, so people can do work that they need to do quickly, print out what they need. In terms of the books, we're resting materials that are returned for 24 hours. So they're returned in the book drop and we just rest them for that time before they're checked in. So mm-hmm. people may notice that something lingers on their account a little bit longer. Please don't call. We're aware of it. We'll get that checked in. No worries. And we don't have overdue fines. So if it's on your account an extra day, there's nothing to worry about. Those are some of the things we're doing to make sure that libraries stay a safe place and that we can stay open for people.
And I wanted to add to that, we've been in close coordination with the public health officer, Dr. Penny Borenstein. So any changes that we make in terms of the physical environment or services that we provide, we're in lockstep with the public health officer and making sure that we're following her orders and those that she's in coordination with the state. And so those who are visiting the library are required to wear masks. If for some reason you're unable to wear a mask, we'll work to accommodate you either by means of having you wait at the door and we can go grab your holds for you. We can go grab a couple of items within a specific genre. But we really, in order to stay open and safe for both our patrons as well as our staff members, it's absolutely imperative that people wear masks mm-hmm. while they're in the branch.
So when you're talking about grabbing holds for a person, does that mean that a person can call ahead to see whether or not that book is available for them or they can look it up before they come?
Chris, yes. For the most part, our patrons will request a book online. They'll uh-huh. look to their account and then place an hold on an item that way. But we always help out folks who give us a call and we can assist them either through the process or we can just do it ourselves. We just want to make it as easy as possible for you to obtain those materials.
What percentage of individuals access materials for the library without a computer? Is it a very low, low percent or is that dependent on which setting it is?
I couldn't give you a hard number, but just based on my experience covering the desk and speaking with staff, it is a fairly low number compared to those who that are placing the request online. Lately, it's been, I see this item on the catalog, but I can't place the hold, and it's because our catalog is still part of the Black Gold Consortium. So it knows there's a title in Santa Barbara, but it's not letting you access it because right now we're not borrowing from there. So there's been some questions about that. People think that they're doing something incorrectly and they're not. But for the most part, it's once folks do it one time, it's easy to do and they don't typically call us unless there's some kind of hiccup. But for the most part, people are pretty savvy when it comes to placing holds.
Sharon, books are just one thing that's available through the library. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you talk about some of the others?
Sure. That's the thing most people think of. when they think of libraries. We have books, we have audiobooks, we have various books even, like we have books in Spanish, and we have samples of children's books and pictures books. We have digital services, very robust. We have streaming movies, we have downloadable ebooks, downloadable audiobooks, and we have Hoopla has movies, TV series, and audiobooks, and we have Canopy, which streams like award-winning films, and we have Cloud Library for audiobooks and downloadable ebooks, and we have Overdrive that also has ebooks and e-audiobooks. And then we've got all sorts of different platforms to do some other fun stuff, like we have arts and crafts available through Creative Bug. That has videos if you want to paint or sew or any various projects. And we have lifelong learning selections. We have lynda.com. And if you want to learn a language, we have a database called Pronunciator. I'm probably missing some. We have lots of things for kids. Oh, right. The big one, since everybody's going to be probably digital learning this year with schools, we have something called Brain Fuse. And this is good for all ages. There's several components to it that make it a really valuable resource. Number one is live tutors. So you can connect with tutors. You just go to slowlibrary.org and you can find it under Teens Homework Help. And everything takes place in the Brain Fuse environment, and they are professional and vetted tutors. So your privacy is safe. Your children are safe. They can do one-on-one tutoring, and they have whiteboards. So like if you're doing math, which tends to be what people need the most help with. There's also flashcards available. There's an adult component to that, too. So as we were heading into our interview, we heard about how many people have just filed for unemployment. So yeah. Workforce development will be huge on the horizon for us. If in Brain Fuse, if you need help with your resume, you can actually submit it, and somebody will take a look at it and kind of give you feedback on it. So there's lots of different things. And then if there's something that we're missing, or something that if you're a library lover and you've used libraries in other places, sometimes you'll see a resource or a service that they've provided. So if you see something that you've liked and you would like your county library system to explore that, you can always let us know. We can't promise that we can implement everything, but we certainly want feedback and to know that information. And for future, for our future planning, you mentioned, you know, digital inequities. As the adult services librarian, I don't have numbers either on who can't access us through technology, but I do worry about the homebound seniors. So just before we closed, we were already planning to implement an official library by mail program. We've worked with Wilshire Community Services, and we have a program called ZipBooks. So we've been doing a pilot project with Wilshire and with Meals That Connect in Los Osos. So we got a small group of seniors who wanted books delivered to them, and we can do this through our ZipBooks program. And this isn't something that they have to have internet service for. They can just pick up the phone and call us.
What, and you know, with all of this, and I did not know for years the extensive capability of the Audible book capacity that you guys had. I've been doing an Audible book club for years because I love listening to Audible books. And my son-in-law has gotten all of the same books through the library, and he just thought it was a scream that I was paying for them. And he kept saying, you know, go to your library. And I thought,
he was just giving me a hard time. And it turned out every one of the books I'd paid for was available through the library. So big shout out for that for you guys.
Yes, but save your pennies. Use the library.
I know, right? Yeah. But what is the cost of library card for all of this?
Free.
So when you talk about tutoring, what's the cost of tutoring?
Free.
And when parents were struggling with, you know, whether to drink a bottle of wine or go back in and try and tutor their kids.
We told them to drink wine.
Yeah.
In fact, that's going to be our next service. We're going
You're going to have a sommelier that's doing tutoring for the parents. Yeah. So how, you know, did a lot of people start to come around with the tutoring of understanding that that was a service that was available?
Yes. So each month on all of these platforms, we report monthly statistics, so you can really see what the trends are. Anytime our youth services coordinator, Margaret, anytime she goes out to the schools and tells, you know, the students that this is available to them, I mean, you see hundreds and hundreds. And when we were promoting it for the really quick pivot to digital learning, the numbers were up to, you know, 500 and 600.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a few minutes break. I'm going to hand it over to Hank for station ID in a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Over to you, Hank.
This is listener-supported public radio, KCBX. Local support is provided by Hotel San Luis Obispo, a modern resort with 3 outdoor restaurants. Learn more at hotel-slo.com. You're listening to Central Coast Voices with host Chris Kington Barker, and you're invited to be a part of today's discussion. To bring your comments or questions to today's guests, call us at 805-549-8855 or email them directly to voices@kcbx.org. Back to you, Chris.
Thank you. And welcome back to our show talking about local libraries. They were forced to close their doors during the shelter at home order in March. And then since then have found creative ways, useful ways to continue to offer services, not only through the library, but through other community services. My guests for today's show are Christopher Barnacle, Director of Libraries, Chaz McMunn, Deputy Director of Libraries, Araceli Astorga, Coast Regional Librarian, and Sharon Coronado, Adult Services Coordinating Librarian. If you'd like to bring your questions or comments to today's discussion, you can email us at voices@kcbx.org or call us with your questions at area code 805-549-8855. And I'm going to ask, you know, this, it takes a lot of funding to do what you guys are doing. I mean, when I ask how much is the library card and you say nothing, and how much does it cost for tutoring or some of the other services and you say nothing, where does the funding from that come from?
So our funding is primarily through property tax. We get 6% of our funding through the general fund, but we're about $11 million annual budget at this time. And so we also pursue grants. And again, we do everything we can to meet the needs of the community through their tax monies. And so the great thing is that whether you're on the left side of the aisle or right side of the aisle, everyone seems to love libraries and they feel like it's a great use of public funds. And
yeah,
we do our best to honor our responsibility to be public servants and really serve the needs of the community.
Do you envision that the current state of our financial status in the community or the unemployment you mentioned that's coming up that Sharon mentioned with people who are going to be looking for work or already are looking for work. Do you see that as having an impact on the library's funding, or do you see that you'll even become more significant and relevant?
Fortunately, our funding stream is pretty steady. As far as the needs, yeah, absolutely. When times are bad, people turn to the libraries. And so that's what we try to do what we can to adapt to those needs. I think Chase probably has some statistics to share in terms of what we have done in the past in terms of meeting those needs. I know in the last year, we had to borrow over 40,000 items more from our partnering libraries than we loaned out to them. So the County of SLO has a reading problem, and we're here to help them.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit about that, Chase?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So last year, we circulated over 3 million items to our customers. And that was actually slightly down from the year before. We've seen sort of trajectory of our physical items were becoming less and less checked out, and our digital collections were actually increasing pretty significantly. But like Chris mentioned, you know, our highest time of circulation was, you know, just after the Great Recession. You know, there was the hit, and then we saw a spike of library use, and then as the economy recovered, it sort of gradually lessened and lessened. So of the 3 million checkouts last year, there were about 300,000 digital checkouts, I believe. But that number is dramatically increasing, especially since May when we shut our libraries. We've really seen a spike. It sort of, I think, accelerated a trend that was already in progress of the move toward digital. And now we have more and more people seeking out digital materials. We just started to look at services once we reopened, and we are seeing people back in our doors. So June, just running curbside service at our three largest libraries, we saw 105,000 items check out from the library. So it's pretty clear that, you know, there's still a need and people are still looking to check out materials.
And Chris, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our foundation and our friends groups. We have 12 different friends groups throughout the county, and they've done just an absolutely amazing job of supporting us with supplementing our budget. They help us with programs. They're absolute advocates of library services. So all the individuals who volunteer all their time and energy, we just can't say enough about their support. And you know, they're absolutely instrumental with all of our capital campaigns. So I think in the 7 years I've been here, we've done 7 different renovations of libraries. And so the current board policy is that 50% of capital costs is fundraised by the community. And we couldn't do that without the support of our friends groups. So if any of them are listening out there, we hope you're safe and well at home and appreciate your continued efforts to support libraries.
Well, I think, Araceli, you mentioned the hotspots, and wasn't that something that was donated by a Friends of Library group?
Yes. We had funding for a few. We didn't anticipate the popularity of them.
Yeah.
So there was one Friends group who gave generously for the purchase of additional hotspots and then those Chromebooks that went along with the hotspots. And I appreciate that our friends groups, they each have a name. So, you know, there's the San Luis Obispo friends and the Atascadero friends and the Morro Bay friends. Mm-hmm. When they give, they're giving to all of San Luis Obispo County. So those monies aren't just staying in Morro Bay. Those monies aren't just staying in Los Osos. They share the wealth so that everyone can enjoy those hot spots, for example.
What is the average, you know, when we look at the demographics of people who are utilizing the libraries, do you have a breakdown of the demographics? Is it unique to the various libraries?
I'd say, yeah, that each individual library is more a reflection of their community. there's significant usage in with families. When parents start having children, they look for things in which to do with their children. So our programs are extremely popular. Story times, as an example.
Yeah.
Teenage years are a little bit more difficult, but we've really put a strong effort into meeting our teens. Circulation numbers are strong for teen readership. We've really tried to create some dynamic programming for teens to not just come into the branch and grab their materials and leave in a traditional setting, not today, but in a traditional setting. And so, you know, we partner with Makerspace as an example. So anyone who has a San Luis Obispo County Library card has free access to the Makerspace. I mean, what an awesome
opportunity.
So the Makerspace is a nonprofit in San Luis Obispo that offers a myriad of different making opportunities. So you talk about sewing, 3D printing, pottery, woodworking, metalworking, just an amazing opportunity for the community to go out and make things. You know, I think when you get into college years, you start losing patrons significantly because they're either caught up in their own lives with school and what have you. And most universities have a really robust library system. And so we start seeing people coming back into the library as they get married and start having kids again. And then, of course, our seniors are extreme lovers of libraries and users of our services. So I can't say emphatically that our demographic hits this. I'd go back to my earlier point that we can't rely upon, you know, one demographic or one particular service model to put all of our eggs in. And so I'd say we meet, as Sharon said, lifelong education.
Their book groups are extremely popular. And I think a lot of them have started since all of this pandemic started, too, as people have more time to read. Do libraries do book groups? It sounds like a stupid question, but.
So, Chris, I'll take that.
Thank you, Sharon.
Sure. The short answer is yes. And there's many that we don't know about, too. So there's traditional book groups who get their books from our library. And there's actually a listing. If you want to join a book group, you can go to slowlibrary.org and you'll see the list. A lot of them have transitioned to virtual. And then we also have, if you want to start your own group, we have book club in a bag. It used to be in a box, but now it's in a bag. And that comes with 10 copies of a title. And it has some discussion questions to get you started, too, if you need that. And then there's also our summer reading program. It's not like a quote-unquote book club, but it really gets people and families really energized to read. And we give incentives and prizes. And so it's a really worthwhile thing to do for your brain. And also you can win some really cool prizes too.
What are some of the more popular books for book clubs right now, Sharon?
So I think the trending topics tend to be, you know, what people want. So right now we're looking into adding more, you know, anti-racism titles. Mm-hmm. So that groups can get together and work through some issues and talk through, you know, some controversies and just get a better understanding of things. You know, our collection development coordinator, she does the, Erica, she does our book club and kits, and she probably knows much better than I do what the top titles are. But we do try to be on trend with those. And Erica is actually doing a book to action program. And the book that's highlighted for that program is called Letters to a Young Farmer. So that really goes through, you know, the farm to fork to table, and just sort of the local food cycle. So that's also been really popular. And then we tend to do things that go along with that. Like Erica set up some virtual cooking classes that have been really popular. So it really just sort of depends on what's trending.
Do you have a sense of there's something that every time someone kind of comes across this is something that the library offers, they're just kind of blown away? It's like, wow, I had no idea.
I'm blown away. Every time I go to the catalog and I type in, hey, I want to find this, or one of my kids says, hey, would you go get this title for me? I'm absolutely floored. Like, I know I'm biased, but truly, it's amazing that you type in and it's there, or the services that are provided. And it's truly like the depth and breadth of services that public libraries offer today. And I'm not just, you know, again, speaking on behalf of us, it's phenomenal. I mean, things from a pilot program that we did in Los Osos with Los Osos Cares to Safe Park, those who were experiencing homelessness at night, a program that RSLE partnered with the local group for Shower the People, so that those who are experiencing homelessness can go get showers every week, to, you know, traditional print that Sharon was talking about with Books to Action, like the Letters to a Young Farmer, the different programs, exhibits. Last year, we hosted Baron Woolman, who was the first principal photographer for Rolling Stone magazine. So we had him come out and talk to us about all his rock and roll exploits, and we had the luxury of seeing these amazing black and white prints. All of us do this because we love public service, but we do it because we love connecting with our community. And we feel like libraries are the best way to do that. And the shared stories, I mean, again, you can talk to anyone and they always have like their favorite experience. I remember as a kid, I used to go to the library and Mrs. Smith used to do this and that for me, and she set me straight. And the fact that your son, Chris, is giving you a hard time about buying books and say, "What, Mom, why don't you go to the library? They have all this." Like, there's just like this shared experience. We're an anchor institution for communities. And so we feel privileged and fortunate to be a part of that.
Do you feel like people are using the libraries around here as much as they could?
Yeah. I mean, again, we have to borrow materials and from other jurisdictions in order to meet the readership. And we spend around $750,000 a year on our collection. So it's not like we don't have money to buy things for our community. It's just that people are super engaged. I mean, the fact that we've done 7 new branches in 7 years speaks to the love of libraries in San Luis Obispo County. So is anyone ever going to say that they couldn't use more money? No, I mean, no one's ever going to argue with that, but we do our best to meet the needs of the community. And as was stated earlier, you know, we're always open to feedback in terms of services or programs we can provide. In the next year, we're going to purchase 3 Sprinter vehicles that will start doing more outreach to senior centers and communities. And so it won't be the traditional bookmobile that we had to retire, but it will be a new and an interesting way to engage the community at their doorstep.
What haven't we talked about today that you'd like people to know about the library and what you're doing? And Sharon, I'm going to start with you, since you were really talking about the different digital services, either things that are being offered right now or that you're planning in the future.
Thanks, Chris. I think what I would really want people to know, beyond all of the super awesome, amazing, cool things that we have and will continue to find, is the staff. Libraries can be scary. They can maybe be a little bit intimidating or whatever. I feel like if there's a point in your life where you need something and you're really not sure where to go, as a librarian, my number one thing is always telling people, like, go to the library. We might not have specifically what you need, but chances are pretty good that we can refer you to another agency. People really like to partner with the libraries, and it makes for more robust services for us. So we're always in partnership with other local agencies. So I would want people always to call the library or email the library. No matter at what point you are in your life or what you need, it's a really good place to start.
In times of non-COVID, the libraries have also been meeting places for other groups and other nonprofits, correct? I mean, they've been places of learning and gathering.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's services that we offer that we couldn't touch upon today that are suspended, like our passport services that Araceli started. That's huge. We want to start notary services sometime in the future. So yeah, it's a meeting place, but it's also a place of quiet for some people where there's no shortage of noise in the world. We still try to have some bit of quiet when we can in the library. So yeah, I mean, it's, we try to be as well-rounded as possible.
Haven't some offered tax filing?
Oh yeah, we worked with the United Way for several years to do one-on-one tax filing.
And Chris, as you're saying, in traditional times, we have meeting rooms at a lot of our locations. So we have nonprofits that come in and they meet. When we redid the San Luis Obispo branch, we created a creative lab so people could come in and they could work on videography and photography edits, as an example. We've got tutors who come in and they work one-on-one with students. So as Chase noted, like it's the third place for people. So, you know, you've got your workplace, you've got your home, and then you've got your library. And so as soon as we get to the other side of COVID pandemic, we look forward to reopening our doors in a traditional sense and bringing people back in. And I guess that's the thing that I'd want to message out to people is if you haven't been to the library, or if you have a feeling that you know what the library is about, I would encourage you to come back in and revisit with one of our staff members. So they can talk to you about how we can meet your specific needs and do things to enrich your life and truly throughout your life. So we're all about lifelong learning.
And Chase, if someone doesn't have a library card right now and they wanted to get a library card, could they do that online? Would they have to go to a library? What is it? How do you get a library card?
Yes, you could do it completely online at this point. If you go to our website, you can click on Get a Library Card, fill out a short form, and it will give you a number. And you can use that number to start checking out digital materials immediately. If you want to check out, you know, physical books and DVDs, all you have to do is come to the library. We'll be able to look up that digital card for you and transition that into a regular plastic library card for you in no time. So, yep, that can all be done online at this point.
Are the library cards unique to each library? So if I wanted to go to the San Luis Library, I need one for that, one for Paso, or how does that work?
Well, we're part of the Black Gold Library System. So normally, in normal times, we would share our collection with all the other library jurisdictions in the area. We have our own unique library cards for the County of San Luis Obispo. But those are shared amongst all the County of San Luis Obispo libraries. So everything in the county but Paso Robles, they have their own city library, is a County of San Luis Obispo library. And our current design is still celebrating our 100-year anniversary that we held in 2019. But we do have some exciting new cards on the way. We partnered with Arts Obispo, and there was a community contest. So we have some great submissions from the community and some of the artists in the community, and we will be rolling out new designs for cards soon. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay, fantastic. Araceli, what would you like to be able to kind of wrap up with or bring out that you didn't already?
I just want to remind the community that we're here to make it as easy as possible for you. So if you are borrowing an item from Los Osos and you want to return it in slow, that's absolutely fine. We'll worry about getting it back to its home location. And if you look in the catalog and you see that there's an item you want from Atascadero, but you live in Napomo, we will take care of getting that item for you. So leave the worrying to us. We'll take care of the transportation, and we just want to make sure that you get that item.
Okay, great. And Chris, how about from you?
I just simply saying what I said before, and that I encourage you to come out to the library, go meet with your local friends group, see what things are happening in your community. Learn about the partnerships that we have throughout the community, and the library is just an excellent way to really engage with your community and we look forward to seeing you.
Sharon, one more thing on Ask a Librarian. Are those questions that are unique to the library, or are people called up if they're interested in research information or have a general question that they're asking for information about and where to get that information?
They can ask anything that they want. And I will.
So you're kind of the Ann Landers of the library system?
Oh, just the starting point. I often, a lot of times it's some circulation issues with their accounts. So then I'll have to lean on my professional colleagues that do that day in and day out. It's really just a starting point for people. You are contacting a real person. When you get there, it's a form, but it's a real person that's reading that and answering that and responding to it. So you can ask anything that you need to.
So if someone had, for instance, a project for a student who's doing some kind of work and they said, I don't have a clue about how to do this or where to get information about it, you might know of a service with the library that could do that.
That's right. Those are actually our favorite questions because that's, you know, librarians at heart are researchers. So we're not going to do the work for you, of course, but we will point you in the direction of which resources will work for you and we'll teach you how to use them. We are digital navigators.
That's fantastic, especially if we have a lag time where our kiddos don't go back to school right away. So parents take note of that. And I want to thank my guests today for this show. We have been talking about libraries here in San Luis Obispo County, and I've been visiting with Christopher Barnicle, Director of Libraries, Chase McMunn, Deputy Director of Libraries, Araceli Astorga, Coast Regional Librarian, and Sharon Coronado, Adult Services Coordinating Librarian. Next week, you'll have Fred Monroe. He'll be joined by his guests. And Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. And made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us today. And thank you, Hank, for also being there with me today.
This is Public Radio KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, KSBX Santa Barbara, and we stream online at kcbx.org. It's about 2 minutes before 2 o'clock. Stay with us next for This American Life.